two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
We'll say it one more time. The midterm elections are just 4 days away. Over 34 million people have already cast their vote, and yet there are still many who are already forecasting fraud, all kinds of nefarious activities going on, saying that the elections are not safe or secure. Many who haven't cast a vote yet are doing it for that reason. They want to be able to do it on election day. And all of that has moved along in an interesting way. But the real question, the question I want to get to today is, what's the future of our elections? What role do voters play? How does that all connect from federal, state, local governments in terms of how that's designed and how that's executed? And here to help us break all of that down, David Levine is the Elections Integrity Fellow at the Alliance for Securing Democracy. David, thanks for joining us.
Boyd, thanks for having me.
This is such a crucial conversation, and obviously we're not going to dive into the election deniers and all of those sidebar things, because I think that's a distraction for what you're trying to point us to, David. And that is, what's being done, and then more importantly, how do we look to the future on all of this? So let's kind of start this year in terms of what is being done, what is that should give all of us confidence in the process?
And Boyd, I'm glad you started there. I think it's worth touching on a few things that are really important. You know, one of the things that we've seen are enhanced partnerships between election officials, private vendors, and our federal and law enforcement partners that have helped mitigate and push back against a lot of the cybersecurity and physical security threats that they've been experiencing. I think we've also seen some other things that have gotten us to a place where, despite the complex threat environment we're now in, you know, we should feel comfortable that the upcoming midterms will be free and fair. One is that we continue to see states trending in a direction that removes paperless voting equipment. And that's really important because it's always good when voters not only can see, right, the choices they're making on a ballot, but when election officials have the ability to go back to and right. see those results. We've also seen more jurisdictions adopt, right, post-election audit processes, again, to look at those paper ballots. And, you know, some of this has been the result of some federal funding that we've seen since the 2016 election. So, you know, I think that, enhanced partnerships, a bit more federal funding, and the adoption of some best practices has put us in a place where, I think people should be confident that if they go and cast ballots, and I hope everyone does, that, you know, the election process will spit out results that reflect the will of the American.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
People.
Yeah, Yeah, and that is the bottom line. And having confidence in that process, we often say on this program that we've stress tested the country under all kinds of circumstances, from wars and pandemics to economic collapse. We've never stress tested it in the absence of trust, trust in our institutions and trust in one another, which I think is a key part of all of this. As you've watched this closely, David, here in the state of Utah, we've been doing a lot of advance work in terms of mail-in voting, early voting, and the citizens of this state have an incredibly high confidence in terms of how things are being done. Yes, audits are good. Transparency is important. All of that. What else are you seeing around the country that is either undermining that confidence or reinforcing why we should have confidence in the process?
Sure. So I think, you know, one of the things that you touched on, you know, at least implicitly, is some of the education and awareness campaigns that got on. Right? Utah has a number of really good election officials. You know, Weber County Clerk Ricky Hatch comes to mind. You know, he obviously walked through Senator Mitt Romney through, right, some of the checks and balances that Utah has that I think were really important, right, not only for the senator, but for broader swaths of the public to know about. Because, you know, this is something that, you know, election officials not only in Utah but across the United States have, but perhaps haven't been as well known or perhaps have been hard to get through in terms of the noisy information environment. And so I think, you know, you've seen an increasing number of campaigns, you know, proactive campaigns put forth by election officials. And, you know, we've seen instances of this in other places as well, not just in Utah, but, for example, in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere. And so I think that's really important. I do think, you know, one of the challenges that certainly has occurred since the 2020 election is that much of the mis- and disinformation that fueled efforts to overturn the legitimate 2020 election has spawned a good deal of legislation that has either made it harder to vote or possibly make it easier to interfere, right, in the conduct of the election. And then, unfortunately, a certain amount of that is now fueling, right, many of the folks who are now on the ballot this coming Tuesday. And so, you know, it's hard because I think it's important to not elevate right, election denialism. But I do think it's important to note that there are around 300 people, right, running for office who don't believe that the 2020 election results were legitimate. And then, and by extension, that means they've got questions about the integrity of American elections. And so I think it's fair to say that democracy is on the ballot.
Yeah, and I do think that's an important thing for all of us to make sure we're going through, and as you said, misinformation, disinformation, all of that, and make sure all of this is the all of us, we the people part. Don't reward bad behavior. That's the first rule. And making sure that we're focusing on what has been done, what is being done, and what can yet be done, because I still think there's a lot of work that can be done. Obviously, the state and local areas is really where the rubber hits the road when it comes to elections and process and security and systems. And again, we've loved what has been happening out here in terms of that transparency. Anybody can go through the process here in the state of Utah with their county clerks. And I love that. It gets more people involved in the process. Is there anything else on the national level that you're keeping your eye on, David, in terms of either some things happening at the federal level policy-wise or things we should just keep our eye on moving forward?
Absolutely. You know, you hit the nail on the head there, Boyd. I mean, the Senate has passed a version of the Electoral Count Act, or an effort to reform the Electoral Count Act. And the U.S. House, of course, has its own form of revisions to the Electoral Count Act. The Electoral Count Act was, of course, something that was exploited, right, by, you know, by the former President Trump of some of his supporters in an attempt to overturn the 2020 election. And this, you know, the bipartisan efforts in both the House and the Senate, you know, they should be able to get reconciled in the lame duck session. And if they can be passed, that can make it far more difficult for somebody to try and successfully overturn the presidential election in 2024. So I think that's certainly something to pay close attention to. And again, something that has strong bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate. I also think it's worth keeping, you know, up with right, federal funding. There's an appropriation bill that right now has $400 million in federal funds to help with election security. That's not perhaps as much as I and others might like, but every dollar counts. And, you know, with the threat landscape that as exists today, you know, between some foreign threats and some domestic ones, it's really important that we have federal dollars getting to, right, those on the front lines, such as, right, state and local election officials in Utah and throughout the country as well, to try and help ensure that we continue to have free and fair elections.
Fantastic. David Levine, so grateful to have you on today. He's the Election Integrity Fellow at the Alliance for Securing Democracy. And I love the headline of his piece today. Election officials will keep the midterms fair. Voters will determine the integrity of future elections. Keep that in mind. That wraps up hour number one of Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. We'll step aside for top of the hour news. When we come back to kick off hour number two, Doug Wilkes will join us from the Deseret News as we talk about instant certainty, how it is the enemy of truth. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.